coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
Hit the ground running talking to people. You need to make connections. You need to get an alliance fast.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor Blood versus Water, which is a very dumb name for this season. It makes absolutely no sense. Blood versus water, what are you talking about? I understand the saying is blood is thicker than water, but like, still, what are you talking about, Survivor? Anyway, the whole premise behind this season is very interesting, and it adds a whole new dynamic to every single vote. It makes every single vote matter a lot more, where every returnee has a loved one that they're returning with, and the returnees and the loved ones are on totally different tribes starting off, and you're competing against your loved ones, which is making it harder for you to beat them, and that's adding a really interesting concept to it. And you also gotta think about who they're gonna vote off on the other tribe. Maybe it could be your loved one. Maybe you wanna avoid that. Maybe you wanna throw the challenge to save them. Who knows? It's an interesting season, and while it's done a lot better on San Juan del Sur, in my opinion, it's still pretty damn good. And I will recommend this season. Anyway, if you like my content, you can like, comment, and subscribe. I do videos either once a week or multiple times a week, depending on my schedule. But without further ado, let's get into Blood versus Water.
Rupert, very heroic. Love your wife. Do anything for your wife. If you want, you can prove it right now, and you can take her spot. Before you let me tell you the consequences. You can take her spot at Redemption Island, which means you are putting her on your tribe. You will be at Redemption Island having to fight for your chance to get back in this game. You understand, you have now put yourself in a spot in which you have to win your way back into this game.
Time after time, and I will.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Rupert Bonham. Ah, me Rupert, me prideful. Don't take wife, take me. Oh no, last place, me sad wife. Ah, he's getting pretty annoying.
And now, Colton, you're crying. What are you crying about?
I don't want to be here anymore.
At all. And I'm sorry.
Don't quit, Colton.
I can't do this.
That Colton is the guy who never should have got up off the couch. We brought a quitter back, and we got to quit again.
I don't care what y'all say.
Colton Cumby. Colton is like the, I swear, babe, I've changed X of Survivor players, where as soon as you take them back, they're immediately back on their old bullshit within hours. Between him yelling in Kat's face, which is actually admittedly hilarious, though it is a shitty thing to do. It's mostly Kat being great and saying, oh, hell no. And then whining about that the tribe's not doing what he wants them to do. And then his subsequent, I'm taking my ball and going home, crybaby quit. Colton can go fuck himself, honestly. However, that being said, I'm talking about Colton the character. All of these, unless stated otherwise, I'm talking about the character. I understand that Colton has apparently become a better person in the years since this season, and I earnestly feel for him when it comes to how he lost Caleb after the season. I just don't want to paint the guy as a totally bad person, all I'm saying. However, him on Survivor, oh yeah, he's a piece of shit, there's no denying that. Who actually likes Colton? I've never met a Colton fan in my entire life. You can find people who can stand Corinne or actually like Stephanie LaGrossa. And I'll admit to thinking people like Dan Foley later on as great characters. But you will never find a Colton defender, even though I will say Jeff unfairly dogpiled on him, calling him a two-time quitter, when the first time he actually did have appendicitis. Colton's still a dick his second time around. There was no Colton redemption arc story for Survivor, so he's going into fuck you. He's staying right there.
Survivor was always Tyson's thing. I never thought in a million years I'd be out here. With the loved one season, it's going to be a game changer. It's going to be crazy out here.
Rachel Fowler. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rachel, sure. You're here because Survivor wants you, not just to have an excuse for a third Tyson appearance. No, yeah, it's definitely all about you, Rach. Yeah, anyway, so where's your boyfriend? Rachel is going in, man.
We're playing Survivor, babe. Maybe there's more to it than that.
You Brad Culpepper.
Hey, yo. Marissa, tone it down. No, tone it down.
Marissa Peterson. We get to the actual first boot, finally. Marissa has to be the weakest relation to a returnee on the season. You have husbands and wives, brothers, mothers and daughters, and then niece. Would your loved one visit really be your niece? I would kind of think that was weird. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. She's a feisty one. Her fighting hard at Redemption Island and beating out both Rupert and Rachel is pretty entertaining. Just she was never beating Candace. She is a bit of a one-scene wonder, but she's entertaining enough where she's mildly entertaining.
Just, you know, look away. You're a child. We've been listening to the people who get voted off about how he's shushing the women and telling them,
Have I shushed a woman? Ask your husband if I've hushed anybody. Has you heard me hush anybody?
Didn't hush me.
No, he didn't hush a man that's bigger than him that can beat his ass.
Candace Cody. I mean Candace Garcia. I don't know why my notes say Candace Cody. Huh, that's weird. I don't know who this John guy is, but that is not her husband, Billy Garcia. I actually love the third act of the Candace Garcia story. She goes from being a mediocre character to flipping off Brad Culpepper. She's voted off before the game even starts, which wasn't a good idea in Palau, and neither is it here. But at least she has the Redemption Island to fall back on. This is the fighting a losing battle arc of her needing to win a ton of challenges straight up to even stand a chance. And it's absolutely entertaining to watch. She may have been a late sub-in entry to the cast, but it was worth it for Candace to have a fun send-off. She just plays this forever game of telephone from salty people after they've been voted off. It's hilarious. Candace is going in mildly entertaining, but like a huge upgrade from where she usually is.
I got Caleb, I got John, I got Hayden, I got V, and I got me. That's five. Four with nine equals out. But I'm sorry, yeah. No. Okay. Four with nine equals out. But five with nine equals in.
Brad Culpepper. Ah, some good old Culpepper math. I love how everyone hates Brad Culpepper on this season. Everybody at Redemption Island is just like, yo, fuck Brad Culpepper. He's leading the tribe. He owes me like $40. His game is the one that is most harmed by Redemption Island. Everyone being voted out is just airing the dirtiest of their dirty laundry with straight scorn and vitriol. Candace flips him off. Marissa tells him, fuck you, Brad Culpepper, when he really didn't do anything outside of the norm of being a tribe leader and the leader of an alliance. Granted, he does say a lot of not cool things like four guys and a gay guy, among many sexist remarks about strength, and I get why he has his detractors. I think he's a trip, though. Not one of my favorite characters, but for sure a great one. It's no wonder he was brought back, despite not being a game changer. He's entertaining as hell. The Culpepper math confessional is hilarious, and he's just a solid pre-merge villain. He's going into entertaining.
I think I'm more worried about it. I feel like Hayden's going to be so disappointed.
Who wants to date someone who doesn't make the merge? And send out me.
But I feel like Hayden will be embarrassed that I'm here and I didn't play better or try harder. He's gonna be so upset. I don't want him to be ashamed of me.
I would switch because I'm afraid that I won't do well in this duel because it's a puzzle and I can't even spell.
Kat Ederson. Kat is amazing as always, even if she does kind of get purpled. She is such an absolute treasure. I just think of her crying in her little pink hoodie with the strings pulled all the way like Kenny from South Park, and I just bust up laughing. She's iconic. That pink hoodie is iconic. I forgot how much I just love Kat. Her crying, thinking Hayden's going to break up with her for getting voted out before the merge. Just such peak Kat. I think she expected Hayden to swap out for her like the heroic Rupert did for Laura, which, if true, and not just my personal headcanon, is hilarious. At the reunion, she brings up the fact that she got breast augmentation surgery in the most awkward way possible, says she got them for him, in which Hayden hilariously responds like, I did not ask for this.
I made some arrangements on my own to just, you know, get on his level a little bit. So, whatever. So maybe I'm a little top heavy now. I get it.
Wait, but what are you talking
about? I'm a little top heavy now.
You changed your body.
I changed a little bit of a look for me. But
to keep Hayden happy. Is that what you're saying?
No.
I'm so confused.
No.
It worked out.
Okay.
It worked out.
You're still together.
Kat is amazing. She's ditzy in all the best ways while being a total goofball. Even Hayden admits she doesn't know which way is up. She's forever in love.
We are two people who have been very successful. It could be something that people perceive as a threat.
Absolutely, and being young and athletic, I think we're going to have a big target on our back.
John Cody. Billy Garcia couldn't make it, so they had this guy fill in as Candace's pretend husband instead. Clearly a downgrade, but whatever. He's pretty dull, but he has this all-American good guy vibe to him, and he's not terrible. Not many people on this cast are. He is the thorn in the side of Plan, since he's constantly thinking who he doesn't want on Redemption Island competing against Candace, so he's swiftly blindsided as the first casualty of the male alliance. He's going in the bottom of Golden Boy.
I've got a lot of pressure on my back. I have to show how tough I am and how valuable I am to the tribe.
All right. I so wish your husband was here right now, Laura.
I know. I'm a little disappointing to you guys.
No, you're great. You're great.
Laura Bonham. Laura, huh? You decided to bring Laura Bonham into Survivor. Listen. I'm sure she's a wonderful woman in real life, but she consistently has this look of an anxiety-ridden girlfriend being dragged along to a social event by her boyfriend where she doesn't know anybody. She just says whatever to whoever. It's kind of baffling. She's not even fun bad, she's just plain bad. She's not even an interesting character, she's just kind of a wet fart. She's in a Wendy Jo tier of you do not belong here. She's on the bottom the whole time and only makes it this far by her tribe winning challenges and there being bigger fish to fry. She just reeks of, we wanted Rupert, Laura came along, I guess. Thankfully, she made a terrible move in telling Vetus he was going home without consulting her alliance first, which saved Vetus and got her voted out instead. Nobody missed her. Rawr! Okay, one person missed her. She's going in meh.
So my brother was pretty abusive when we were younger. And that just inspired me to beat him at things I could beat him in. I don't know if me going on Survivor made my brother envious, but I'm sure that winning it did.
Aris Biskauskas. Aris is still cool this time around, but he's completely overshadowed by Vetus in terms of which of the duo I rooted for and liked more. Most of the Aris and Vetus relationship is presented through the perspective of Vetus, so Aris is just kind of pushed to the wayside. It makes him really hard to rank. However, since this is the way Vetus views his brother, I think it would be funny just to throw him in Golden Boy.
When I was 19, I spent a year in prison. I was a junkie, man.
Really?
I was a heroin addict when I was a teenager. Yeah, my brother was a golden child, you know, right. Like grew up behind me, like watching me do all these bad things and like got a scholarship to college playing basketball, like straight A student.
Right.
And I was just like, you know.
Opposite.
Dropped out of college, living on the street, robbing people every day to get my fix. My addiction impacted my family like profoundly. Even my relationship with my brother to this day is still like not fully mended. So this is a great experience that I'm gonna get to have with my brother. The fact that we're going on this together is a pretty great, you know, opportunity for us to mend some more. Finally got arrested, man, robbing some lady.
Best thing ever happened to you?
Best thing ever. Saved my life, because I had to overdose a few times in that last month.
Really?
Yeah, like just like cops found me one night in the bathroom of the gas station with a needle still in my arm. It was just too powerful, any of us. We're just kids.
And you're just a baby.
Yeah, child.
Vitas Baskauskas. I like Vitas a lot. I really like his story of being an ex-heroin addict who turned his life around. Addiction is something that hits close to home for me, so I really feel for the dude. I'm happy for his recovery. His rivalry with his brother is great to see. As you can tell, they have a lot of bad blood and history between them. I actually see a lot of myself in Vitas. I can relate a lot to when he talks about how him and artists used to fight each other all the time as kids. It's also just nice to see a yoga instructor who isn't a complete loon. He shows that side next time, don't worry. He's such a straight up guy, even Tina wants him to marry her daughter. Weird, but shame he doesn't last much longer. But he was too much of a threat to let go further in the game. And I'm really glad he gave Laura the cold shoulder.
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Vitas wants nothing to do with Laura.
His jury speech at the end was also great. He's for sure an entertaining. Vitas is fantastic.
Caleb, 30 days in this game. I'm guessing you impressed a lot of people with your work ethic and the way you handle Colton.
Probably.
Your relationship, which is still a mystery to me.
Relationship will stay a mystery to a lot of people, and, you know, opposites attract. Even though we're similar, we're the same, opposites still attract.
In what ways are you similar with Colton?
Well, we're both guys. Even though his estrogen level's probably a little bit higher than mine, but yeah, that's probably about it.
Caleb Bankston. Caleb could not be any more different from Colton, and thank fuck for that. Sadly, that also accounts for being a much less interesting character than Colton. However, I still really like Caleb anyway. Every confessional he has, he just has this air of being a cool, good dude, and it makes me really sad to know that this awesome guy is no longer with us. He would have for sure been a returnee at some point had he not tragically passed so soon after the season. It's just a shame there's not much to his character. But he's memorable enough for being just surprisingly normal for someone engaged to fucking Colton. So, I'll just put him in cute. I like Caleb.
Work it.
Katie Collins. The most emotion she showed all season was saying work it. Katie did not want to be there. Katie has this permanent tired mom face. Clearly she's just doing this as a favor to her mother. She does not want to be there. At least that purple rock went to the right person. Katie is 100% going in May.
It was to rustle feathers. It was to rile Jervdot.
Ruffle feathers. You said rustle feathers.
Russell, ruffle, whatever. I don't care.
Russell's the first name. Ruffle is...
Russell, R-U-S-T-L-E. Rustling leaves. You can also rustle feathers.
Hayden Moss. If there was a Survivor game worth playing ever made, I think I would name my character Russell Feathers. I'd like to establish a personal headcanon that changes the way I see characters, and my personal headcanon with Hayden and Kat is that he's just someone who wanted to date a hot girl from Survivor for a while and got dragged into being on a season with her. It's such a fun way to go about watching the season. He's just not that great of a player, as evidenced by him just telling Tyson all the information he needs just because he asked. I mean, I don't watch Big Brother. How the hell did this guy win? I guess you can be kind of a doofus, but as long as you're good at challenges, you can win Big Brother? I don't know. Hayden's okay. He just kind of bros down the entire time. His reaction to Kat's breast augmentation announcement is fucking amazing, though. Hayden could go into mildly entertaining.
The amazing part of what's happening to us out here on the island is our relationship is morphing. We're always going to be mother-daughter. Always. There's nothing we can change at. But it's morphing into a role where I was always the one giving advice to Sierra. I was always the one saying, this is what you need to do. Here's how you need to do it. And she would gladly come to me sometimes and take that advice. It's now morphed into the role where I'm trusting her decisions.
I worry that I'm going to wait and wait, and then it's going to be too last minute for me to do anything. And it's just going to be like the way it is. You know what I mean? Like not saying to get you out now. I'm saying, what if it gets to six? You beat me at a challenge and then I go home. And then I'm like... What's up?
She has the courage now to say to her mom, Mom, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. And by the way, I may have to vote you out of that $1 million. And the fact that my daughter has the courage to say that to me shows that she has grown as a woman, that she's no longer this little girl, which ultimately for me... makes me proud, because ultimately for me... I wanted this game to teach my daughter how strong she is, and to sit there and to see how strong she was, and to hear her say, this is what I'm going to do, Mom. You're kind of hindering me on this, and I might have to go over you.
as an individual player in the game, was like, oh no, that's not really in my, that's going to cut my chances. But as a mother, I was like, good girl.
Laura Moret. Laura Moret proved why Russell Hance was gunning so hard for her in Samoa. She's an absolute challenge beast her entire Redemption Island run, manages to somehow be a pre-merge boot who comes back and actually lasts a few rounds without needing immunity, unlike Matt Elrod and Ozzy. She gets most of the mother-daughter sentimental content compared to Sierra, and it's nice to see how proud of Sierra Laura is. She's the first returnee to be booted, but she's ironically one of the last ones to actually be eliminated, and it's this crazy run. She's only eliminated so Tina could miraculously have another shot at the game. She lasts all the way to the end of Redemption Island. It's wild. She for sure is an underdog.
Together for like 3.5 to 4.
He
got married pretty quick.
Sure did.
Is he young too?
Yep. Good. Because he's the baby daddy of both of them?
Just my second one. When I got pregnant in high school, like 16 and pregnant type story.
Good thing you didn't get married.
Dude, Tom got it. I actually was a teen mom, so I got pregnant when I was 17 in high school. That was a huge game change for me and my mom. It was a really hard obstacle for us to get through. Embarrassing for my mom, probably.
Sierra Easton. Oh my god, she voted out her mom? What? I know it's been beaten into the ground that Sierra voted out her own mother, but it really was a crazy move that cemented Sierra into Survivor lore.
I just don't feel like it's realistic for me and you to be in the final three. We could try it, but I feel like it's risking everything to try it. Do you see, like, for me where that's frustrating? Because I could vote you out tomorrow and then not have to get to the, then I could go all the way to three.
She's played three times, after all. It's also crazy how there's 4 first boots on this season, 5 if you count Rupert, 7 if you count Laura Bonham and Candace. Oh, new idea for a season, Blood versus First Boots. Have a returning season of all first boots, but they're also playing with their loved ones. Anyway, Sierra played a flawless game, and flipped when it didn't make sense. Had she stuck with Caleb, Hayden, and Katie's side of the game, they could have taken out Jervis at Final 7, but then she has this problem of Tina coming back, so no matter what, she was kind of screwed and had her work cut out for her. She's a feisty player. She wasn't afraid to make big moves to put herself in a better position. Just the problem is she aligned with someone who just didn't trust her in Tyson, so she was getting no higher than 4th no matter what. She fights all the way to the bitter end, though, so I gotta give her her props. She changed the way people played from the bottom. Sierra for sure isn't entertaining. At the top of it, actually.
No, but you're still my daughter.
It's hard to have been at Redemption Island now for 9 days and you hope to get back in the game and to finish what you started, but it's my daughter. And that takes precedence above all things, even $1 million.
You love this game, you love competing, you do not love beating your daughter.
Tina Wesson. We had a previous first boot return last season, so why not again? Yeah, I know she's returning based on Australian Outback, not All-Stars, but it's still funny it's only happened twice. Tina is the sweet grandma she always is, and the fact that she actually returns from Redemption Island is actually insane.
Mom? Katie? Honey. Other mom.
It's not Katie. You gave birth.
I hear a little voice going, Mom. And I'm like, oh, it's Katie. But no, it was Laura M. Back once again to Redemption Island.
Tina is an endearing, albeit sometimes a little dull and underwhelming, cute little old lady on the season, and she's extremely rootable. Her Redemption Island run is insane, and it's just crazy watching this 50-something lady outlast all these athletic young men and women. Granted, she had a lot of help from Laura in the beginning, but it was still a wild run. Tina is textbook underdog.
And Hayden, guess what? You're going on a jury. Believe that. You're going to be on the jury.
I'm sure.
Don't hate the players, homie. Hate the game. This isn't Big Brother. It's Survivor. We do things different here. You're about to get a lesson in how to play the game.
Jervis Peterson. Jervis is a fun returnee, a good 13 years between seasons. It's dope how he has a Pagong tattoo now, too. He gloats on his first challenge win, which gets his knees voted off, so he keeps doing it out of spite until he just stops. And he's just quiet for a while and comes back. He shows that he actually is strategic. According to him, he wanted to be strategic on Borneo, just he read the room and it didn't fit the vibe of the Pagong tribe, so he didn't, which is smart on his end if it's true. He's a fun loudmouth. He's Philly to the core, which is cool. Jervis and Tyson have this fun lock on the season, but Jervis was never beating Tyson. He just never had a chance to get Tyson out, though he clearly wanted to. It's a shame, because had he come back and won the season after 13 years, that would have been incredible. But the Tyson story is better. Jervis is a lot of fun to have back. He stays where he is and entertaining.
Normally it's that I'm Brad's wife, but when it comes to Survivor, I'm the wily veteran here.
I'll play second fiddle to Monica. I'm the young rookie.
And it's my turn to win, and this time I brought some ammunition.
Monica Culpepper. Monica is just mostly kind of there, being a badass hot mom, being blindly loyal to Tyson. She's a big cheerleader during the Redemption Island matches, especially with Brad. She annoys the rest of her tribe by constantly talking about strategy to the point where Kat starts to target her. She's a main character on this series and seems to drive the plot along, but in the end being a kingmaker, she plays a very similar game to the Scoopin' 2.0 actually. Monica is okay. I don't dislike her, but she just kinda does nothing for me as a character. She has a very emotional Final Tribal Council performance, but it's all for nothing, since she was never beaten Tyson. She did play her ass off, though. I'm putting her in mildly entertaining.
But if you just come in and pretend like, yeah, everybody just cracks open a coconut whenever they want. Everybody just eats a banana whenever they want. It doesn't have to be fair.
Let's see how fast I can drink this.
It's definitely a goal to eat and steal as much food as I can from this tribe. And I'm going to keep eating that food till it's gone.
Oh, it's too much.
You do have to do a certain amount of work or appear to be working so that people just don't hate you as a lazy guy.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
I don't think I'm painted as a lazy guy yet, because after I crack a coconut and drink half of it, I pass the rest around to the other five people to share. So that's kind of generous of me to do. I'm going to hit all that food like a one-man wrecking ball.
Tyson Apostle. Tyson is an absolute treat this season. Between him stealing food from the other tribe and pushing the target onto Aris, he's just such a wonderful winner. One of the best, really. He's even hilarious when he eats. Him and Jervis feeding each other is just so wholesome and wonderful, even if it's in the face of those he's competing against. He's just such an asshole, but in the funniest ways that make for great television.
Survivor's broken my heart twice, and I think tonight I fell back in love. I knew Aris wasn't going to take me to the end, and I knew Tina had prioritized Katie in front of me. So for her to come out and save, you should be ashamed of yourself, because that's not the way I play the game. I'm like, Tina, if everyone played the game the way you do, I would win 100% of the time.
He just doesn't get caught. That's his secret. They still give him $1 million in the end. The man is just so witty and can think of a joke for so many situations. Tyson trying to find the hidden immunity idol in his bag is absolute gold.
Jeff, it's in here somewhere. That's not it. Hold that for a sec.
Seriously, dude?
Come on, I got a lot of stuff in here. There it is.
One of my favorite failed idol plays. It's also really weird seeing Tyson cry, and sincerely at that. He really loves Rachel. I guess that's why he married her. Tyson's a lot less up to his childish antics this time around, but he's just as funny as he ever was, and is such a great goofball winner. Tyson's Final Tribal Council performance is awesome, and it's such a great thing Tyson is in the pantheon of Survivor winners. God, could you imagine if Coach won South Pacific, and it's both Tyson and Coach on Winners at War? Oh, that would have been incredible. Tyson rules. He's going in favorite. Alright, and that was Survivor Blood vs. Water. A very good season, if you ask me. Even if not a lot of the cast members are super dynamic, a good chunk of them are pretty purple, actually. A lot of the returnees are also pretty outshined by their loved ones' counterpart. I mean, Vetus is a lot better than Aris on the season. In my opinion, Brad Culpepper does a lot more with his time than Monica Culpepper does. Granted, Kat's still way better than Hayden. But Sierra Easton, in my opinion, completely outshines Laura Moret. Laura Bonham actually gets to play the game. So does John Cody. Caleb is way better than Colton. Like, yeah, come on. Besides, like, Tyson and Kat, really, like, a lot of the returnees weren't that great. I mean, do not get me wrong, Laura, Brett, and Tina have amazing showings and completely outdo themselves on the season, and Tyson and Kat, of course, are as amazing as always, and I love them both. However, Katie and Rachel just bring absolutely nothing to the season in terms of any memorable character moments, and Colton can go fuck himself as always, and Rupert really annoyed me on this season, actually. I wanted to see him play another time, but whatever, he had to be all, brr, honor, brr, and like basically quit the game, and no one gives him shit for it, and I feel like I should give him shit for it. Anyway, if you liked my video, you can like, comment, and subscribe, and if you made it this far, you're awesome. Thank you so much for watching my videos. I appreciate every single one of you. I love everyone who comments. Like, it's so much fun just waking up to new comments and being able to reply to them and, like, talk to other people about Survivor. It's great. It's a fun time. And I actually have a Discord server now, and the link is on my page. You should be able to see it. I have it in my description, too. I'll link it there. But there's nobody in it right now, so I would like some people in it. Anyway, next on the docket, we have Survivor Kageyan, which also starts me needing to write a script every time I make a video, because now I am out of already written material. Whee! So the videos may take a little bit longer than usual to come out, but that's because I'm doing it all from scratch. But it should be fun. I love Kageyan. Kageyan's one of my favorite seasons of all time. It's the first season I watched, actually. Surprisingly enough, I didn't get into Survivor until 2022, I'm gonna say, and the first season I got into was Kageyan, because I googled, hey, what's the best season of Survivor, because I just randomly felt like getting into Survivor, and I immediately fell in love, thanks to Kageyan, so I wouldn't be doing these videos if it weren't for Kageyan, so, hey, thumbs up. Anyway, see you next week in Kageyan. Should be fun.